You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, it is Friday, living for the weekend. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you must do, should do, will do, can do, and you better do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it ain't, you're going to get it done. Right on. This is going to be a great weekend to do it. A lot of activity, I know, here in the Atlanta area. That's for sure. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com and then look for podcast programming and click on that and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that and then you'll see previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Monday evenings is Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs programming out of Philadelphia, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparations, Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8. Today is Friday. Oh, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening this evening. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., right? It's not me. It is Sister POC and her program, once again, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday in the nighttime, from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. It's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. The Warren Ballantyne Show, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need. The largest online marketplaces for American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. But if you can't or don't want to go online and shop online, and if you are physically in the Atlanta area, then you can stop by the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. and those products are there available for you to purchase and take home, and they're produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tayemba, he's taking our people on another journey. He's going to South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd. And then he's going to Cape Town. Excuse me. He's going to South Africa, November 22nd, December 2nd. He's going to Johannesburg. Then he's going to Cape Town. And then he's going to Ghana again in the end of the year, December 24th to January 4th, 2020. And you should check him out. Give him a call. It's a very reasonable price for the trip. And the number to call, of course, is 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. And if you want to look at pictures of previous tours, facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to look at videos from previous tours, youtube.com/Bomani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna. They got everything you need right there at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Their store hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, and then Sunday from 1 to 3. They're closed on Monday and Tuesday, and as I said, they got everything you need right there in the West End. They have furniture. They have clothes. They have artwork, beautiful sculptures, and so forth. And, of course, they have the Kwanzaa kits, and they have the Nagash shoes, red, black, and green shoes. But most importantly, they have books. They have books to enlighten us. If they don't have the book that you were looking for, believe me, they'll get it. They also have a class every Saturday. So tomorrow from 1:30 to 3:30, it's the Know Thy History class, Know Thyself African History class with Baba Olatunji. And if you can't make the class, but you want the information, you know, they have a multimedia library that you can purchase, and it's a serious download. You know, when I have it, when I got it, it was 4.5 terabytes of pure African enlightenment. Now it's 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. So there's plenty more video files, plenty more images, tons more audio files, and well over 2,000 books. So check it out, Shrine of Black Madonna. Also, too, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right across from the kiosk of We Buy Black, the Medu Bookstore, 404-346-3263. If they don't have the book in stock, they'll get it for you, believe me. The Medu Bookstore, open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9, and Sunday from 12 to 6 in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot, there's light in the Black Dot. I'll talk about them after the break. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore on Main Street, because they're having a street festival this Saturday, tomorrow, a street festival. There's a Black Dot Cultural and Arts Festival, and that is from 12 to 8 tomorrow in Lithonia, right in front of the Black Dot Bookstore and the vegan restaurant. It's going to be outstanding. Cafe Ulu, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. They had their radio broadcast last night. I listened. It sounded great. Sister Nana and Brother Thurman were outstanding. The number to call to listen on Thursday nights from 9 to 10 is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Go online to usliftingus.com and become a member. Akabin Institute. Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti are doing an outstanding job of educating our young people, and they need to be supported. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute and then send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal to send your donations, please do so. $ and then Yah, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can send a Cash App or PayPal. Sister Gabby, Gabrielle Real, Sister Gabby, she's in Haiti. She is doing great work in Haiti, in the northeast section of the rural area of Haiti, teaching our children, developing ways that to grow food, chickens, and so forth. She needs and deserves to be supported. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay dash Haiti. Check them out. And more importantly, support them. Also, Black Talk Radio Networks, this is our media project. Black Talk Radio Network. Go online to blacktalkradionetwork.com. And you don't even have to leave that page. On the right, scroll down a bit, and you'll see the donation button. There is a link to the donations, but you don't even have to go there. You can just go right on the front page. But if you want to go there anyway, because I want you to support Black Talk Radio Network Media Project, 2019 Media Project. Okay? The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inye Sesem. I've been thumbing through the Inye Sesem. Got some jewels coming up, believe me. Going to go yesterday and today. September 26th. How is what I'm doing and preparing to do going to help with the re-Africanization of African people? I repeat, because that's a good question even for me. How is what I'm doing and preparing to do going to help with the re-Africanization of African people? Camus Kambang. We realize that no one is perfect, but we also realize the role of warriors in recreating and perfecting the African world reality. Africans on the way to becoming Asafo and Jegnas must at least initially see themselves as recovering Europeans. Yes, we made choices, often bad ones, relative to our people's journey toward empowerment. And we must hold ourselves accountable for the outcomes of those choices. But we must also realize that most, if not all, of those choices were made within the constraints of ignorance. Our objective is recovery. Recovery, and let me go back there. Of those choices we made within the constraints of ignorance, brothers and sisters, ignorance simply means absence of knowledge. It is not bad. I'm ignorant of quantum physics, but if somebody hips me to quantum physics, that would remove my ignorance. So to be ignorant is not a bad thing, as long as you are consistently striving to acquire knowledge of self. Our objective is recovery, recovering from the addictions of confused Africans adapt in reaction to the onslaught of infectious European cultural imperatives. This objective must be accomplished while we remain empathetic in our self-criticism, always conscious of the surrounding chaotic insanity, always cognizant that the hardest habits to break are those to which you remain exposed. Regardless of how difficult or protracted the struggle, the unfailing goal of every aspiring African must be to strive with all our inner strength to provide a straight path to the African's way in order to release our descendants from hell on earth. There must be a consistent self-evaluation to make sure that spirit, what we know, is truly in line with the action of what actually we're doing to fulfill our mission and purpose for our community. Thought, word, and deed must be one. I repeat, thought, word, and deed must be one. Affirm, everything I do is helping with the re-Africanization of my people. Reaffirm, everything I do is helping with the re-Africanization of my people. September 27th. Study the enemy so we will know why we are where we are. Arthur Schomburg. Lying is a Western norm. For instance, in Western society, when is a lie, or murder, murder? Only when you're caught. European society has been about the business of perfecting the lie and making it a legitimate norm. Morality is political in its cultural context. The European is a spoiled child caught up in a lie, a grand lie, built upon foundations of lies that have required innumerable lies to collaborate. In fact, this brat is entangled in the mother of all lies. His lie is the complication of hundreds of years, of generations of impacted lies. There are so many lies, in fact, that it would require a new meaning and a new beginning to clear the original lie. And even then, the memory would and should continue to taunt and taint new beginnings until the truth tellers prevail. These lies are bound to each other to the point where truth is indistinguishable from lies. And that becomes the purpose for lies as a child seeks to survive in a world of lies it has created. With so many lies on the table and more issued daily, it becomes nearly impossible to tell truth even when the child admits it. For that truth is usually a means of sustaining other lies that ensure this privilege. The child is also quite aware that to admit to even one lie is to initiate the dreaded process of unraveling all the others. So you'll never admit. The spoiled child is caught alone and afraid, trying to garner allies of truth believers willing to be friends if he will continue to let them play with his toys. Spoiled children cannot be unspoiled except by force. Affirm, I can tell the truth because I know the lies. Affirm, I can tell the truth because I know the lies. Man, as I'm reading that, you know what I'm thinking, right? I'm thinking about all the lying that is going on in this government, in this society. All the lies that are happening right now in this impeachment process, which of course he wouldn't. I mean, even if he's impeached, that doesn't mean he's going to be leaving office. And it doesn't mean that, he may or may not win the second term. Although I can't see a snowball's chance in hell with all the stuff that this man has done. Why there would still be enough people. To me, Mickey Mouse should be able to beat his, with all the lying that he has done. Lies. A couple of the things that we talked about here that are, just recently before I have a guest. I hope I have a guest coming on very shortly. But a couple of things that we've talked about here, and that is most recently climate change and what's happening with climate change. And it's real. But yet still, there are so many climate deniers. And the issue of climate change, how it's affecting the African continent, that's my concern. I mean, I'm concerned about the planet, of course. But I'm specifically concerned about Africa. And I know to me, I looked at the news the other day, and particularly the national news, and saw all of the like four hurricanes or four storms that are brewing in the Pacific, in the Gulf area, and three in the Atlantic. And then you have a serious snowstorm, 3 feet of snow in the mountain areas, Montana, Wyoming, in that area. Then you have what's going on in the Midwest, Northeast, the heat here. I mean, Atlanta generally has about 35 days in the summer months of July, August, September of 95 degrees. Since June, to this point, we have almost 90 days of 90 or more degrees. The rest of this week and next week will be in the 90s. What climate change was about, brothers and sisters, was serious extremes of weather, serious extremes of weather, prolonged, harder. I mean, when that hurricane sat on the Bahamas, I mean, it just sat there on Grand Bahamas for 2 days damn near. For almost 2 days. Usually they hear, they're blowing through and they keep moving. So you can imagine the destruction and the loss of life. Where did they go? Where were they going to evacuate to? The numbers of dead will continue to be counted. Climate change. We'll have more and talk about that more as the months and days go by. Also, too, 9/11. Just seen some recent information that there are many, many, many more people who don't believe, who should not believe what the government says about that situation and what happened. Almost 20 years. It's taken 20 years. But I believe by the time the 20th year rolls around, I believe there might be a lot more noise next year. And by 2021, the 20th, quote, anniversary of the incident, the truth will be revealed. Hopefully, Bush, Rumsfeld, what's his name, the vice president, and all involved will be incarcerated. I was going to say executed. I think what happened with that, in my mind, I remember Trump talking about the whistleblower, you know, and all the people who gave him the information. And so he said they were spies. And so, you know, what they do with spies and treasonous people, course, in this country. And I understand if you're working against the will and aspirations of the country with an enemy, yes, you're going to, if you are found out, you're exposed, you're going to be killed, and rightfully so. And so what Trump was saying, these people who are doing this are like spies, and so all those involved yeah, right, that's why I was So, but no, they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and they should be imprisoned, you know. Yeah. It's a damn shame. It's a shame. And so what I seen many, many years ago, I've been on this 9/11 kick for some time. If anybody who knows me knows, I've been talking about this a long time. I started talking about this within months of the incident itself. Then when In Plain Sight came out, then, of course, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, Dr. Gage. Look him up, Dr. Gage. In fact, now they have over 3,000 architects, engineers who are questioning. Particularly, I think, Building 7, the European Jew, Silverstein, who owned the building, took out a big insurance policy prior to 9/11 happening. You know, once again, I think when you go online, when you go onto YouTube, follow the money.
This call is being recorded.
You go ahead and follow the money, because there's definitely going to be something there. Follow the money. So, because that's what time it is, brothers and sisters. Follow the money. Yeah. 9/11 Truth. So that's going to come to a serious head in the next, you know, few years. And I think by the 20th anniversary, the truth will be revealed. Now, whether those individuals will be, because, I mean, whoever's president could pardon them, which probably will happen, no matter who it is, because they're not going to let Bush and Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, all the other Rumsfeld, all the other criminals. They never even dealt with the money in the Pentagon that was missing. The I don't know if it was trillions. I think it was a few trillion dollars, trillions. And of course, you know that the biggest budget piece in this country is military. Is, and it has been for decades, and even Eisenhower. Even Eisenhower said, we have to be cognizant and aware of the military-industrial complex and the amount of money going to the military is just sickening. The United States is the world's policeman. The United States is the world bully. That's why, to me, brothers and sisters, we are in this madness. That's why, to me, brothers and sisters, why I advocate on this program. I only talk about every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because to me, understanding this madness and all the lies that are continually perpetrated, there is no other alternative. Everything else is moot. We are dealing with a people who have no integrity. We're dealing with a people who are, their whole premise is based upon lies. And my contention is we have to get out. There's no reforming it. We can't stay in it. We can't, you know, romanticize that we can get an area of this country and be sovereign and independent and grow our own food, have our own energy, our own water supply. No, we are in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. We are in the midst. And the only thing that we can do, dear brothers and sisters, the only thing that we can do is do the best that we can do for ourselves and each other, to educate each other, to prepare, to develop the links with our brothers and sisters in the diaspora, to get them out. Because there's nowhere in the diaspora even. We don't run the Caribbean. Oh, we have dark faces in high places, but the Caribbean is a playground for Europeans. The Europeans still, those beautiful hotels, those resorts, they're not ours. It's theirs. The only place we legitimately have a claim and we can tell anybody to kiss our is on the continent. If African people on the continent wake up. If African people on the continent embrace each other, every leader from Nkrumah, you know, I always read Nkrumah. I'm going to read him again because it was his birthday a few weeks ago, last week, the 18th. Patrice Lumumba. I mean, so many others understood that a United States of Africa is the correct move, the desired move for us as a people. But you see all those people, Thomas Sankara, Patrice Lumumba, Idi Amin Dada, Dr. Sheikh Ajit Jop, all of them who are calling for Federated States of Africa, all of them either were killed, discredited, exiled, whatever. Because the European knows that if African people don't, it ain't about you being no Nigerian or no Ghanaian or Cameroonian. It's about you being and us being, about you being and us being African and being willing to come together and put all the petty differences aside to teach one another, support one another, being a collective, developing cooperatives. developing the infrastructure that Africa needs. It's no damn... We shouldn't be begging the damn Chinese to build a road for us. We have people who can build roads, sewage systems, energy systems. You see, I want to go off. Because that's what we must do. That's what we must do. So I'm looking for a guest. There's a program tomorrow, 28th, in Saroma School. And they're going to be celebrating 25 years of excellence. And it's going to be an all-day affair. It's going to be at the apex of there in the hostel, right there by the amusement park, right there by Six Flags, the Epic, beautiful place. Remember they had the Black Excellence Awards there the first year. And when I was there, my knees were killing me. I just had surgery. I had just had surgery about a month later. But beautiful place. It is ours. I think it's owned by the Browner Brothers. So it's a beautiful place. And that's where they're going to have the conference. And then from 10 a.m. to 5, from 10 a.m. tomorrow morning until 5, they're going to have workshops. And then and tomorrow evening at 7, they're going to have a banquet. And the keynote speaker is Akoi Kambang. He's the president of Visionary Leaders Institute. And we have a caller, 404. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, this is Madge Willis from Inthorm. I heard you just mention us. I said, that's my cue.
How are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Yes, that is your key. Help us out here. So you can explain to our listeners what in Sonoma is all about. What do you guys do in the event tomorrow? And I know it is a educational program. Is it like an after-school program?
Right. Well, right now we are offering Saturday enrichment programs.
Okay.
We have programs for younger students, well, fourth grade through middle school, for STEM and STEAM enrichment.
Okay.
So we've done math and engineering and just a lot of fun stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It really gives them a good foundation. And then the other piece we're doing is SAT and ACT test prep.
Okay.
For our students. That's on Saturdays. And we do it in a way that we've had amazing success. You know, they always talk about how Black students don't score well. Well, our students score well. And we approach them in a way that really connects with their best learning styles.
Okay.
And gives them the confidence and all that. So we've got that program going on. We also do teacher support groups. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And study groups, and really focusing on helping teachers to learn how to teach mathematics in a way that encourages or leads to understanding and not just rote memorization of, okay, you know, well, do this, you know, mm-hmm, do that with no understanding. So we've got those programs going on right now. In the past, and we've been around 25 years.
Oh, wow. Yes,
so
I see.
Past,
yeah, that's when you're celebrating 25 years of educational excellence. That's great. And you still are, mm-hmm, going strong. Okay.
Yeah. And so we started actually the way we are now as a Saturday enrichment program. And then we were a full-time school with kindergarten through eighth grade for about 7 years. And then to really better, we think, reach more students, we are, we decided to do the enrichment program again. But we do have, you know, in the plans for the future, full-time, going back to full-time equivalent. So,
honestly, the reason why it's necessary, because our students are bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of their inability to, you know, and so only the stronger students who have a good family foundation can withstand that onslaught on their minds on a daily basis, on everything they see and everything they read. you know. So that's why, to me, what you guys are doing, definitely you guys should be a school once again and should be duplicated, you know. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, even the students that come from those families that you talk about, some of them still are getting knocked around and knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
It's impacting all of our students because it's such a strong effort to miseducate our students. I mean, that's very intentional. And so we have to take responsibility to educate our children.
Mm-hmm.
We have to.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The responsibility to prepare our students is ours. It is not the Atlanta public school system or any other public school system, nor any parochial school system or any private school system. If that educational institution is not African-centered completely in how it administers education, then it's no good for our students, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's no good. And see, to me, once you have laid that kind of foundation with these young men and women, they can go anywhere and be successful because they know who they are.
Right.
They also know what they must give those institutions so they can get the grades they get, because they ain't caring about that. You know, because what they understand is that they know who they are historically and culturally, and they know the attacks on them. And so they're able to maneuver through that and through those minefields and get whatever they need to give back to the institution so they can walk across that stage with that piece of paper. Because really, the piece of paper don't mean a damn thing, you know. To us, to the society, yes, for job purpose, you know, needs and so forth. But for us as a people, no, the real education, it comes from us, nation building,
right,
you know, and that's what we must do.
And then, and part of it is that, I mean, you can have all the papers you want, but it's how do you use it? You know, that's what's key. So if you're not using it to help your community and to support African people, then, you know, why did you do this? You know, why did you go through that?
Right.
So,
and spend all that money. And spend all that money. I mean, there's a lot of families today who are serious in debt, who are on the verge of bankruptcy because they've, you know, they owe $70,000, $80,000 or more, you know, to educational institutions. And, you know. And still, they can't get a job in the degree they have, you know, in that field. So, I mean, it's a game. And so that's why, to me, what in Sonoma and other African center schools and weekend programs or after school programs or schools in themselves, like what Baba Baruti is doing, is vitally important.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we've been we have been supporting some of the full-time schools because we know that's real important.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we can work together so that we're doing the supplemental pieces on Saturdays, on the summer, during the summers, you know, supporting teachers, those types of things. Because working together, you know, none of us is overflowing with students. You know, there are still students that are not partaking of our program. So it's not a matter of we're competing with each other. It's a matter of we need to support and come together and work together so that we're benefiting more and more and more students.
And that's what we have to do.
So, yeah. So what we're doing actually on Saturday at the education conference is we actually have people who've been parts of or are parts of different schools. So we have Aminata Umoja, who's a founder of Quilombo, and she's doing a workshop on culturally responsive teaching. We have Baba Kweku Opare, who was a part of Instorm. He's been a part of several independent schools here in D.C., and he's talking about rites of passage. So we're looking at what are the things that we have done that have been successful in educating our children in a way that prepares them for the things that they have to do for us.
And duplicate those. Get more people involved and duplicate those and spread those around. That's for sure.
Right. So, you know, we're wanting people to come out, you know, for that, for the education conference. That's between 10 and 5:30 tomorrow. And then we're having a celebratory banquet that evening from 7 to 10.
Right.
And we have a keynote speaker, Ako Kamban, who I think was getting on the call.
Yes, he is.
I am indeed.
How you doing, dear brother? How you doing, Brother Kamban? How are you, sir?
I am fantastic, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Welcome, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. Thank
you. Sir.
Thank you for having me.
And that question, they're looking forward to tomorrow evening's keynote address that you're going to give to culminate the this tomorrow's affair, which sounds really great in terms of educating our people and enlightening our people. And I was just telling my sister that how important it is, the work that you guys are doing. Now, you're in Columbus, Ohio?
Well, brother, you know, this is very interesting. I've spent 40 years in Columbus, and now the last four in Atlanta. So I'm now
you're here
in Atlanta as a resident. Yeah, I'm now a resident of Atlanta. Yeah.
Okay.
But I might add that I'm a Grady baby as well. I was born here.
Oh, right on.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a recent transplant, but my folks were here. My folks migrated. My folks came out the first wave of migration at the turn of the last century. And my mother was born in Milwaukee in 1926. Uh-huh. Yeah. So then my folks started moving back down here. So we still have a good number of people. We still have some folks back up north, too, in Chicago, particularly in Milwaukee, you know.
Well, yeah. My wife and I have three daughters, and they came down last week to help us celebrate our 46th wedding anniversary.
Outstanding.
And they decided, well, this would be a good place for us to move down as well. And we made it very clear, no, you are just fine where you are. There's no need for you to move. Atlanta has enough brothers and sisters here right now from D.C. and Columbus and Florida.
That's
stay
for
where
sure.
you are.
That's what well, they also said, you know, we can get grandpa and grandma to, you know, to babysit.
Oh, I know. I clearly understand the game. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
Nope, not going to happen.
But tell us some of the highlights that you attend to talk to our brothers and sisters about in your keynote address.
Well, I just came on and I was very intrigued to hear some of the discussion that was going on right before I got on, because I believe it is extremely important that we highlight the successes that we've had as a people. Right now, we are in a time when most of society, and unfortunately, that encompasses Africans in America and African-American people, that we are zeroing in on all the negative things that are happening inside of our community. Whether that's crime or unemployment or whatever it is, there may be the frustration, the anger. And so we're not focusing right now on the things that we have done that are noteworthy, the things that we've done that people should hear about. And as a result, our story is being written by other people because we are not focusing on the good things that happen. I think there's the African proverb that says, until the lion learns how to write,
that's right.
then the story will always be told or glorifying the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And so from my perspective, we need to make sure that our people hear the great things that are going on and also the great things that are planned in the future. Because I think that oftentimes people sit there and they say, yeah, we did do that. Yeah, they did do that. But what about the future? What are the next steps? And so what I hope that people will walk away with tomorrow night is what are the next few steps that we ought to take as a people to further the success that we have?
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, I'm a firm believer, and I've been in education for a very, very long time, that people are given like 10 things, 15 things, 20 things to try to remember when they leave. And I just don't believe that that's the most effective way to ensure that things get done. I'm convinced that if we point out 3-5 things and say, hey, here are some things that we'd like you to consider, and we monitor the success of those things, we might find that we have gone much further than we even anticipated when we sit back and talk about how far we've come and what we've accomplished. Okay. So tomorrow night, what you'll hear from me, at least, will be those things that we've done that we should be extremely proud of, and the next steps of things that mm-hmm. will make us even more proud than we are now.
Ashe. And that's what we need to do, to focus on those positive things that we have done, and to give Lynn support, serious support to them. I know, but, you know, when I look at our situation here, it's so tenuous because this is theirs, not ours. Mm-hmm. And so given that reality, in fact, that's what power is. Dr. Wade Nobles, I think, had a deep and most definitive definition of power. Power is not education or information. Because if the education information you've been receiving is flawed and inaccurate, and it is, because the people who are giving it to us are such prevaricators, then no power. Power is not mm-hmm. politics, because we have more people mm-hmm. who are in elected position, but yet our collectively our situation as a people is worse off today than it was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and power is not money, because the money you have is theirs, and they can mm-hmm. change the money, put different faces. In fact, that's why I'm a strong advocate of not having Harriet Tubman's face put on a $20 bill. Especially when the Caucasians say they want to put Andrew Jackson on the back of it. She would be rolling over in her grave, you know. But not only that, it's not our money, you know. Mm-hmm. No, we feel. So what is power? The ability to define reality. But the European took it to a step further. The ability to define reality and then have others accept their definition as if it's their own. They impose their reality on people. They impose their system. And so what we must do in an educational process, as what you guys are doing, is teaching our children who they are historically and culturally, and giving them a solid, firm foundation, so no matter what, they can still maneuver in this madness, in this insane situation, you know? And so I think that there has to come a time when all of us sit down and say, hey, no matter what, these are the things that we must do collectively. All of the after-school programs, the weekend programs, the African-centered schools, it must become a serious collective and say, and develop the syllabus or whatever and say, this is what's going to be taught. I often said, I look at what Europeans Jews do. European Jews, and I'm from Milwaukee, and I've seen it. In Milwaukee, my daughter went to a high school, a public high school. But there were a great amount of European Jews who also sent their kids to that high school. And so they would tell the high school, well, we're not going to be in school because it's Rosh Hashanah, or it's Yom Kippur, mm-hmm. or it's Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. You know, because they understood that I will send you to that school so you can learn math, other concepts, but when it comes to culture, you will learn at the synagogue or what other places that they have to teach their children who they are and what it means to be who they are. And that's something that we haven't done. We have totally given over our children over to the same people who have literally messed up our minds, you know? And so therefore you can't get the power out of that, you know? Because power is the ability to define reality. Now, I don't want to impose our reality on anybody, but I want us to educate ourselves so we can define the reality, so we can shape our reality in our image and in our interests. And so we can be, as Malcolm said, we can be players in the world instead of pawns. You know, so that's what it's about. And I appreciate what you guys are doing. I support y'all, you know. And I know that since you're in Atlanta, Brother Kambang, I would love to have you back on the program so me and you can chop it up. And you too, my sister.
Would love for.
Yeah, you too, my sister. I would love to have you on the program, you know, mm-hmm. and because this is what I talk about every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You know, this is what I talk about on this program, because to me, every other subject is moot. We're in a very, very precarious and tenuous position. And if we don't control the education of our children, mm-hmm. Our future is not promised, number one, because we're living in a world of some people who have proven to be an open and sworn enemy. And who will do any and everything they can to maintain and sustain the privilege they created for themselves. They're selfish and greedy, and they don't want to share. That's why I say they suffer from cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. They believe they're superior, and everything they do comes out of that fact, and ain't nothing that we could say to change it. Because if they are, because even though there's a plethora of information to say otherwise, but they ignore it. They dismiss it. They continue on because that's their mindset. And so to me, we should stop trying to convince them or sitting in or marching or any other stuff. The main thing is close ranks, support one another, pull our monies together, educate ourselves, educate our children, learn to provide jobs for us. Because one of the things that we have been doing that's so problematic is that we educate them, but we don't provide jobs for our children. And we send them out there and they go out there and beg for jobs. We are job seekers. We're not job givers. And who we seek jobs from can't stand our ass. And they don't want to support us.
That leads into the whole thing about entrepreneurship. And actually tomorrow we've got a couple of workshops that are dealing with that. When we were a full-time program, we had, we called it the Insorma Youth Entrepreneurs. And so we were teaching them, you know, about independence and self-sufficiency as a community. And part of that is not only making sure that we have the services and goods that we need in a community, you know, kind of following John Henry Clark's components, but that also they knew how to create them. Right. And so we started them at that early age. And so we have Carol Phelps, who was one of the advisors and actually currently still teaches with us in some of our part-time programs. She's going to be talking about how that was developed and what parents and educators can do to do that piece. And actually before her, we have two alums that are now, it's amazing how you knew them when they were 7 and 8,
right,
and now
right.
they are 27 and 28, and you're like, oh my
That's
God.
That's beautiful.
But they're doing a workshop called Solution-Oriented Strategies for Building Strong Communities.
Right.
Julia, so they're looking at breaking down some of the problems. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Julia Davis and Jehudi Wills. Yeah.
Yes.
I see that. Outstanding. Yep. Go ahead.
And so, you know, they're going to be talking about, let's look at some of the issues that are facing our community, but let's have that solution-oriented approach to it. So, again, building on the strengths, looking at solutions, not just, you know, commiserating about the problems. Because, yeah, we are in a real tough situation. And we have a lot of strengths, and that's what's going to carry us through. So we need to build on that. You know, when I was in graduate school, I studied under Asa Hilliard. In fact, that was my only reason for going to graduate school because I wanted to study under him. And he always said, we spend too much time analyzing our failures. He said, we need to analyze our successes. And so that's what, you know, my focus has been, and that's what I've carried, you know, to Insorma, and I see that it got passed on to some of our students because that's their focus. So how do we build? And part of what they're talking about is, and so how do we do this? How do we create the solutions? How do we create the jobs and the work? And how do we create the economic system that's going to carry us through and support us and allow us to build and to thrive? And so they're doing the workshops. They've got two sessions back to back, and then Carol comes in with the entrepreneurship to kind of fine tune that. So it's along those lines, because education is not just about, like you said, learning how to read and how to write and how to compute, but it's also about how do you live and how do you live in a way that supports African people, and especially in this day and time when there's, you know, a serious onslaught against us.
And it's real too.
Oh yeah.
Brother Kambon.
Oh yeah.
Brother, I'm excited by listening to just the two of you. And I said, oh, wow, okay. And I started taking notes. I said, okay, I'll deal with this tomorrow. Then mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'll deal with this tomorrow. So I said, okay, we're going to be here all day tomorrow. So,
it's going to be great. It is.
It's going to be great. I've heard so far mm-hmm. and looking forward to it. I think the most important piece of all of this is that there are two phases of a presentation, I believe. And one is, it is one to kind of get people excited about whatever it is that you are talking about, you know, to encourage excitement. But then there's another part of it, as far as I'm concerned, and that is to give people a practical approach to moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to get excited and say, ooh, that was good. Oh, man. Because we all need rejuvenation.
Sure.
That we all need to feel, okay, man, I felt really down when I came here. I was looking at the local media and I saw what was going on. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I feel good now. Okay, that's great. That's important.
It is.
But now the second part of that is, now that you feel better or that you feel good, what are the next steps for you? What are the next steps for your family? What are the next steps for the community? And what are the next steps for our people to move forward? And I think that oftentimes we leave with the former, that is the inspiration, but we don't leave there with the application that we need to make it happen. So I'm hoping that we will combine tomorrow inspiration and application.
Outstanding. That's great. Well, I appreciate it very much. Sister Willis, anything else?
Just wanted to say, you know, if you're in Atlanta, come on by. You know, we're at the, like I said, the Riverside Epicenter, down there with the next exit from Six Flags. I guess people
right.
know that.
Right, exactly.
That's the landmark. But yeah, we'll be there basically from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. And our website is nsorma.org. That's nsorma.org. And there's a link that says anniversary event. And so you can get more information about the day, links for tickets, you know, all that good stuff. So we hope to see some folks out because this is a community effort. It takes all of us, you know, I hate to even say that quote about the village, but because it's been co-opted so badly.
Sure.
But it's so true. You know, it takes all of us.
Yeah, especially if Hillary Clinton uses it.
I know. That just messed it up for me.
But
thank you for taking the time to, you know, to have us talk about this and share what we're doing. Really appreciate that.
Well,
brother, allow me to say Sante Sana to you and to your listening audience. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out on tomorrow, starting in the morning and all the way to the evening time. So look forward to it, brother. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you, too.
Yeah. Thank
peace.
You so much.
Peace and blessings.
All right. That was a successful event and peace, family. In fact, this is what we'll do. A week or so later, I'll give you guys a contact and you come back on, you know, to talk about how well it went and what are the next steps. Okay.
All right.
I will look forward
great.
To it.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Peace, family. All right.
Peace.
Thank you. That's the brothers and sisters with Nsorma. They're having their 25th anniversary, man. 25 years. That is fantastic. And of providing information, education to our children here in the Atlanta area. And they have even some of the people who have been educated through that process coming back to give back. So I'm looking forward to talking with them again. I know I went off. I apologize. I'm going to call and apologize to them because sometimes I do go off. And I got to let the guests and people, you know, get their stuff out. But, you know, I tell you, sometimes I can't help myself. I really can't. I'm not argumentative. But to me, there is a position that we must take. And it's very clear to me. And the people that I talk with and know, it's very clear, you know. When you're in a very precarious and tenuous position, you know, you got to be clear. You have to have clarity. Your movements must be decisive, you know? And you must think of consequences. But yeah, I pray that they have a great turnout tomorrow, and I'm going to look forward to talking with them right after, probably sometime next week, and see how things, when they can come back on and we can have conversation. Because what they're doing is monumental, and I appreciate it very much. Let me see what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break. I think I need a break. When I come back from the break, The Arrow is now a quarterly publication. And in fact, it's talking about education. So it's in tune with what we discussed already. So we're going to talk about The Arrow. And then so when we come back, we'll do just that. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Whoa, man. Okay, let me get it going here. So, with the amount of time we have left, so we can just get this information in. I am not going to do the rundown of the programs that we have coming up, but I will talk about Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, Brother Yosef Muhammad. That is today from 4 to 6, because I promote them. They're on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call to listen and to participate is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. And that's from 4 to 6. Check that out. Brother Kazimde Ajamu, of course, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. They're having the event tomorrow. That's Saturday from 12 to 8. Street Festival. They're going to have some great entertainment. They got craft. They got food. The restaurants that are on Main Street right there in Lithonia will be serving food. So they don't have many food vendors themselves because they want to promote them, you know. The festival is just one way that Ajamu, affectionately known as Baba Kaz, gives back and helps his customers move from the unconscious state to the conscious knowing. He does it every day with the unique offerings at his store where shoppers can get the finest African coffee, books, and fashions with sighs of wisdom and cultural sharing. That's right. That's what's happening at the Black Dot, because brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. And I look forward to being there and working with Brother Kazimde Ajamu. And that is tomorrow from 12 to 8. Also, too, I didn't get this in, but I'm going to get it in right now. Brother Renoka Rashidi, who will be on with me next Wednesday. Brother Renoka will be on the program next Wednesday. He is going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. And that is going to be January 21st through February 4th, 2020. And you can get the details of it, but just go to drrunoko.com. drrunoko.com, drrunoko.com. And believe me, you get a lot of information on that website, let alone his trips that he's taken, but other stuff that he's done. And man, travel with Renoko, brothers and sisters. Travel with Renoko. He has a trip coming up to Kemet and the Sudan, October 23rd through the 4th. Excuse me, October 23rd through November 4th. And then an extension to that from the 6th to Sudan. And then, of course, the trip in January, the Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. So, and that trip to West Africa is less than $4,000 for all three places. All three places. So make sure you do that. And so the Arrow newspaper is now a quarterly. I believe they're sending it quarterly. You know, you can do quarterly any kind of way, because it's every 3 months. You know, we got 12, and so a quarterly is 3 months. And I believe they're going to do theirs March, June, September, and December. So the next one that'll come out will be in December. I'm going to contact them so I can put my information about this radio program, because I promote it all the time, and I want them to promote me. Yes. And so this edition of the Arrow, the newspaper for the Institute of the African World, the Organization of African Unity, and it is about education. But of course, they have a lot of good offerings in the Arrow. A good piece on Ida B. Wells, Crusader for Justice, all kinds of good. And of course, they have Kwame Nkrumah, whose birthday it was a few weeks ago. Other good articles you name it. Please, brothers and sisters. It's a quarterly now. I'm not sure, you know, what the price change is or whatever. I'm not sure. And to me, it doesn't need to be. The newspaper is quarterly. And letters to the editor or other comments are welcome. And it's in remembrance of James Phil Johnson, the founder and managing editor. Baba Phil, or Babu Phil, because, you know, Babu is African for grandfather. And so you can contact the Arrow at 646 Home Green Road, HOLMGREEN, Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220-3414. That is San Antonio, Texas, 78220-3414. And you can give them a call at 210-333-0118. 210-333-0118. And be a subscriber. Yes, be a subscriber. Got a good article on Marcus Garvey, Queen Mother Moore, talking about, too, how Mandarin Chinese is being implemented in East African schools. Yeah. Revitalizing Maggie Leno Walker's vision. She developed a bank in Richmond, Virginia. All kinds of good articles. Self-help education programs. Lesson number 7, African manhood. If you are a wise man, train up a son who is pleasing to God. That's the Hosea, if you are a wise man. Tips for when African people come together. Evaluate our relationships in order to make improvements. Discuss how the children are doing and how we may help them do better. Discuss how we may become more informed and active in our communities. Work out a plan for community organization before getting involved in politics on any level. Discuss our interactions to ensure it is cooperative and not competitive. Discuss if you are consciously managing your thoughts, words, and deeds, or if you are following along with popular culture. Excellent. I'm telling you, man, you know, this magazine is outstanding. A lot of good information, especially now that it's going to be quarterly. There'll be more information in there, you know. So this is the article for today. African students are crippled by negative forces, seen and unseen. The forces that cripple our students have their origin and power in the global system of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. Because global European, Caucasian extremism is an anti-African global system based on dominance. It negatively affects all Africans and people of color who enter into people activity systems, no matter where they are on the planet. Hence, as our students push through an academic day, we, parents, teachers, administrators, and leaders, claim ignorance about the impervious attacks of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, seen and unseen, that are directed against our youth. Many of us react hostily to the wild, angry, disrespectful behavior displayed by our frustrated youth. Our fears tell us that we are under attack and must call the system to protect us from our... We are under attack and we must call this system, to protect us from our youth. We blame them for being disruptive or uninvolved in learning, not considering the emotional and spiritual stress they experience listening to how great Caucasian people are being raked over the coals with biased tests and being humiliated for being African. In spite of the history side mandated by this system, a good number of our students are able to struggle and maintain through additional frustrated by mean-spirited peers and insensitive teachers. Some of our students' grades suffer as they struggle to grow up while dealing with hidden racism pushed upon them by parents, teachers, and administrators who unconsciously and consciously accept the idea that being African is inferior. Some of our students are drawn into a hate African emotional quicksand with those adults who are ill-equipped and afraid of being African in a Caucasian racist society. Much of this debilitating activity confronting our students springs from the miseducation of the African family, an unorganized African community, and anti-African programs via mass media, mind-controlling programs in schools, churches, and hospitals, all perpetuated by European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. A home is where the members are positively shaped, raised, and nurtured, cultured, and socialized to take their role in the family and the larger society. The African family socialization process has been disrupted, distorted, and in some cases destroyed by the invasion of Caucasian extremism. See, white supremacy is the word there. And see, what I try to do, dear brothers and sisters, if you are listening to this program, I try to use terminology I think that is most fitting. And, you know, I did a program last week on words have meaning. One of the words, very succinctly, I didn't get it in, and that is the word discipline. And it's a good move right here because, see, this society uses the word discipline when they mean punishment. But punishment has such negative connotations, so they use the word discipline. What is discipline? Brothers and sisters, discipline is self-imposed order. When you don't have any order on yourself, society must impose order on you. They must punish you. They must institutionalize you if necessary. Because discipline, what do they call, brothers and sisters, if you were going to a university? What do they call the studies? Exactly. They call them disciplines because you must be within yourself serious enough to go through the rigors of education, to go through the years and subjects and so forth to come out a well-rounded person, supposedly, you know, discipline. So discipline is self-imposed order. And so this society has used that word when they mean punishment, and I can't stand it. But then again, it's their society. That's how they want to run it. Okay, a home is where the members are positively shaped, nurtured. Every aspect of Africanness is denied in a desperate move to be Caucasian. Wounded and rejected in a home, many of our students spill out into the community, hurt, insecure, and highly explosive, while others are excessively positive and palatable. Since they are angry and hurt about who they think they are, they succumb easily to peer pressure and are willing to do anything to win acceptance. What many parents and teachers don't understand is that knowing the ABCs is not enough. Our students must know who they are and have respect for self and kind in order to be successful learners. Ignorance of the importance of positive self-identity by the teacher becomes a force of destruction against the student. Since Caucasian extremism refuses to allow any kind of independent movement to take hold in African community, we are totally dependent upon Caucasians' power. We're totally dependent upon Caucasians for all of our life-giving and life-sustaining resources. Therefore, our troubled families become our troubled communities. Because we're unable to organize, we are open targets for every con artist, con game, that one can come up with. That's why, to me, when somebody portrays themselves as loving Africans and loving Africa and puts forth programs and talks about education and talks about building, and yet their actions don't speak that, and they're doing something contrary, I have serious issues. Serious. Because we're unable to organize, we're open targets for every con artist, con game one can come up with. Every person, regardless of age or gender, is subject to the worst kind of brutal exploitation and rape. We are victims of spiritual enslavement by religious systems that make giving up being African a prerequisite for conversion. Oh, let me say that again. We are victims of spiritual enslavement by religious systems that make giving up being African a prerequisite for conversion. Genocidal games of AIDS, drugs, miseducation, homelessness, underemployment, unemployment are just a few of the serious ills that are prevalent and form a basis from which our students come from. Any and all attempts to bring this situation under our control are met with violent attacks on our leaders, and any increase in propaganda and disinformation by the media toward African people. The media in general, and the television in particular, fill the homes, communities, and classrooms with characters that have been programmed to glorify killing, stealing, drug use and running drugs, materialism, sex obsession, and homosexuality. These television characters and images promote and glorify anti-African themes and values. They teach our youth disrespect for women, mothers, fathers, teachers, the law, and yes, even God. Man, I tell you, that's why I love, this publication. As students, we are victims of this powerful programmer. And while we all feel the invasions, many of us are unable to fight. Many of us are unable to fight against the strong impulse to act in concert with its dictates. Every person or program that attempts to provide words, images, or symbols for Africans uplift is short-lived. Weighing through tons of humiliating insults in the home, some obvious, others hidden, our students move through the community, some cautious, others with complete abandonment, encountering and acting out all of those characters and themes that have entered them via television. Arriving at school where friends and associates will join them, only a few of them will be aware of the continued attack of the hidden and obvious negative forces that await them there. The educational institutions are infected with mental health programs that are dealing with the mental structure of our youth, not providing them with basic reading, writing, and arithmetic skills. Many of these schools are mere holding areas for students who have been dumbed down and placed on drug maintenance programs. Some teachers have become dysfunctional trying to handle overcrowded classrooms and a multitude of disciplinary or discipline. See, don't handle discipline. See, that's a good word right there. Because they have no discipline. And therefore, if they have no discipline, then they will be punished. Others have fought into Caucasian extremism and are unable to relate to our students. Others have bought into Caucasian extremism and are unable to relate to our students. So their classrooms become kingdoms which they rule and punish all who are placed in their charge. There are indicators that administrators and teachers who accept the myth that Africans cannot learn and have a low IQ don't expect good performance. There are no expectations for them. Therefore, they set out to prove their belief in prophecy. Our students are labeled violent gang members and gangbangers, low achievers, welfare recipients, drug dealers, prostitutes, and some are good Negroes. These labels lock some of our students into a permanent state of hopelessness and rob them of both respect and self-esteem. There, the mass majority of our students reject this process and withdraw from it. Damages, but not destroyed. They are damaged, but they are not destroyed. A small number will give themselves over to European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, and work hard at being as Caucasian as possible. These students will become the future appointed leaders over the rest of us. Haven't you seen that? Still, an even similar group will see the negative forces and work at developing a program for liberation. A larger group of students will become victims of this massive assault on African life by Caucasian extremism. They will overpopulate the dropout rolls, the jails, the unemployment lines, the mental health facilities, the AIDS treatment centers, and the cemetery. If we are to protect our children from the crippling negative forces and heal those who are injured, we must take charge of our families and root them in African culture root them in African culture through and practice. All of us who have an African mother, African father, or African grandparents must love our African selves and work to unite Africans everywhere. We must organize our communities and take responsibility for what is needed to develop, defend, and advance them. We must lay down the mental and spiritual context by which all information coming in is evaluated. We must control information and informational technologies for security and broad-based distribution of our word, of our word. Right now, we just need to cut that TV off and use the printed word as our foundation for growth. Finally, we need to develop self-determination, African-centered educational institutions to take charge of the education of our people. Bottom line. Bottom line. And unfortunately, what's happening, because we can't support it, don't want to support it. That's why what I was mentioning about the European Jews and so forth, when I had my guests on in Sonoma after school program, is that, you know, the Sunday school lesson this Sunday coming up, if you are a member of the Baptist Church, that Sunday school lesson will be taught here in Atlanta. And guess what? That same lesson will be taught in Memphis, Chicago, Milwaukee, New York, Miami, Charlotte, Los Angeles. You name it, you get the picture. So then why can't we develop a program? And I mentioned this to ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization. Why doesn't ASCAC develop a program that every Saturday, broadcasted across this country, every Saturday? Necessarily have to, you know, broadcasting is cool, but you don't have to necessarily have that. Just to have the printed word in community centers, churches that are African centered, like the Shrine, even if they ain't, whatever venue it is, your home. But at a certain time of day, let's just say, just like my program comes on 11, because I'm on the East Coast and on the West Coast, it's 8 o'clock a.m. in the morning. But at 11, 10, 9, and 8, at that very same time, across this country, we're dealing with an African-centered educational process. That would be deep, wouldn't it? Exactly at that time, across this country, brothers and sisters and elders and young people and parents will take that time from an hour to 2 hours to learn about themselves. This is the program that is going to be presented this Saturday. And everyone who comes there comes with the express purpose of learning what it's going to take to get our minds right. What it's going to take for us to embrace our children and love them. What it's going to take to change the behavior of us as parents towards our children. Every Saturday, regardless of holiday, BS, all of that, every damn Saturday, that educational program will be initiated. There is a curriculum developed. There's a syllabus developed. On this Saturday, this date, this is what we're going to study. And we'll continue that process until the kinds of things that will be initiated by us can start to come into fruition. That we will no longer. I got a caller. Caller 404. Caller 404.
Brother.
Hey, sister, how you doing?
I'm well. I'm well, and then I'm not so well. You know, we live in a dual reality.
Yeah, I can understand, sister. Sister Queen, I can understand, Queen. I really do. It gives you mixed emotions. It really does, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I understand. We can deal. We the strong people. We the original people. So we know how. We've done this before.
Yeah, but unfortunately, fortunately, Queen, we don't have memory because our memory has been, they tried to erase our memory. You know, and in fact, they wanted to say to us that we have nothing, we haven't done a damn thing prior to our captivity. In fact, our captivity was, as far as they're concerned, the best thing that happened to us because it exposed us to Western ideas and Western religion and so forth and so on. And so we should be thankful to them for doing what they have done to us. And unfortunately, some of our people believe that.
Yes, that's true. And we all, but those of us who have risen above and reached up and have attained, escaped that illusion to the reality of just who we are and what we are and where we come from, we have reached a different mind and mindset, and we go back to our reality and thank our Creator Almighty for giving us ways, plural, to go back to our reality. First of all, Brother Oshie, I'd like to say thank you, Asante Sana, for the article that you just read. It was so in-depth and
I know. I tell you, I love the arrow. I promote it. I wish our people would take out a subscription for it. I mean, the narratives that they put out over these years, even when, I mean, they still use Baba Phil's byline, you know, but he's been dead now almost 3 years, well over 3 years. You know, he's been an ancestor, but they continue to put out these narratives or this byline on the front page, and some of them are just outstanding. I agree with you. This one is truly outstanding. African students are crippled by the negative forces that are seen and unseen within our community, and it plays out on a daily. I mean, we can, Sister Queen, we can be as positive as hell as we want to be, but you also got to face reality. You got to face the reality for African people. I'm not talking about individuals, because what an individual does is weak and and pale in comparison to what we could do collectively. And we are a collective people.
We are. And without you, there is no I.
That's right.
So the next step, I also would like to say, did our ancestor write that article you just read?
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not sure if the ancestor did this or not. I'm going to talk to the sister that... you know, she comes, they've been coming the last few years to Abacus and Tsumtsum. In fact, they are the ones that print the African world for Mama Ani. For Mama Marimba.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
Right, for Mama Marimba. They're the ones that print the African world. And so they've been coming for the last few years participating in the Abacus and Tsumtsum ancestral celebration. So awakening, and they're just beautiful people, and so they've been kicking out these things, and they have, as far as I can remember, I've seen at least two that were done years ago, because I've been getting these for like four years since I came here to Atlanta, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been here now 5 years. Yeah. I've been here 5 years. Yes. My time flies, you know.
Yes.
But I enjoy what the paper presents because it's an African-centered newspaper.
Yeah.
Now it's a quarterly. And it speaks clearly about the things that we talk about here, which is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. You know?
Yeah.
And so whether he wrote it and they just... you know, recreated, or is there somebody within their organization that doesn't? I'm not sure. But all I can say is I love them. I have a whole box full of them that can be, I could just go back in there at any time and pull out one and it'll be relevant.
Yes, our struggle is always relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because up until this very, very moment, we are still struggling with the same indoctrination and you know what that binds us. However, to move forward, the question I wanted to ask was, what shall we do now as a collective?
Mm-hmm.
And we must do something, not just something. We must do everything because we are just very well qualified to do everything and reach back. Hold on, let me, I don't want this alarm token.
Okay, sure. Well, what my belief is that what we can do right now, right at this moment, individually, make yourself a conscious person. Infuse yourself with the knowledge of yourself. Purge all that ignorance. Whether you go to the European's library or whether you go online, but whatever you have to do, look up. Look up Dr. Clark, Fannie Lou Hamer, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Marimba Ani. Look up those our ancestors and those who are contemporary. Look them up. Read their information. Just like it said in this piece. Now, some of us still ain't got time to read. Well, then if you want to go on YouTube, you can go on YouTube and you can let the ancestors speak. You can hear Garvey. You can hear everybody. Go online if that's what you want to do. But more importantly, if you want to, pick up a book. Go to the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go to the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End on Ralph Neighborhood Abernathy. Go to the Black Dot tomorrow at that festival they're having tomorrow. Go to the Black Dot tomorrow from 12 to 8. And seek information and talk with other brothers and sisters. That's what we do. And it's not just about wearing Ankhs and Africa and Gaylays. And no, it is not what we look like outside. It is what is inside of us. It is what is in our heart and what is in our mind.
Yes. Yes, Brother Oshie. As a collective, we must start to take the next step. As a collective, those of us who are African-minded and African-centered and African-oriented, because it takes someone to start the collective all over again as our ancestors before us have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time to do some action, and we have to start collaborating with one another, because we've got this little group, that group, that group.
This. Right.
And we must start looking at ourselves as a whole people. Someone has to start it. And we have the energy and the knowledge and the strength and the ability to start the action now. And another thing, we have to be careful and stop appropriating and telling the Caucasians, what are we are going to do? We have to stop that. But we must start is what we should start.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, or we will be here 25, 35 years from now still talking about what we should do. And the Africans in the homeland are waiting for us.
Yes. Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Queen. They're waiting for us. We are the most technologically, some of the most, let me put it that way, technologically advanced Africans. What if we use all that we have learned not to beg Caucasians for jobs, not so we can move out into a subdivision, cul-de-sac, a gated community, you know? No, what if we use all that we have learned to pull those resources to talk to our brothers and sisters, I'm coming home. I'm coming home with skills. I'm coming to teach, to support, and to help. I'm coming to build. I have physical skills. I know how to lay concrete. I know how to build roads. I know how to build railroads. I know how to build a train, an airplane. What if we're coming home with all those things that we have learned, with everything about building Africa for its future, to be competitors in the world instead of pawns? What if we come home?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Queen.
We'd be rich. No, I was going to say we would be rich beyond compare.
Yes.
Not just materially, yes. Emotionally, spiritually. We could heal our children and heal our people and heal
yes.
our land and therefore the world.
You know, a lot of us, I always try to use the correct terminology. Some of us can see and have that vision. Unfortunately, most of us have bought into this idea of what this country is about. And we keep thinking and hoping and praying and wishing that it would stand up to what it says it's about and to treat us accordingly and acknowledge what it has done to us and give us reparations, supposedly. Give us another job. Give us another affirmative action program or whatever. Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm not going. Go on, please.
But, you know, I'm just saying that it is that these problems that we have, I know they've been enforced upon us, but the responsibility for purging this stuff out of us, getting rid of this mindset and developing an African-centered core and a belief and a love for ourselves and each other, the willingness to work with one another, trust one another, believe in one another, it is ours. And it can't be done in this system.
Without ourselves.
Exactly. It cannot. It cannot. You have to be able to step outside the imposed boundaries that these Caucasians have placed upon us and look at the situation for what it is. Not that you tell anything about these Caucasians that what they should or shouldn't do, because it doesn't matter to them. They suffer from cognitive dissonance, Caucasian fragility, and hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, is their attitude. So, no, there's nothing we can do. I'm about to close out, sister. Anything you want to say?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Asante Sana. It's my sheer enjoyment and enlightenment.
Well, thank you, Queen, for always being there listening.
Listen,
I appreciate
it. We should
support.
Talk. We shall talk.
Oh, we know we will. Peace to you, my sister.
We know we will. Peace to you.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, I hope you've enjoyed the program. Hope you enjoy your day. Hope you enjoy the weekend. Hope you get a chance to go to the Sonoma Conference that's out there at the Apex, out there by Six Flags. I hope you get a chance to go to Brother Kaz's, Baba Kaz's in Lithonia, the Black Dot Festival, Arts Festival. Or whatever you're going to do, enjoy it and be safe. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodio. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodio.
Bibi Fahodio.
Bibi Fahodio. Peace.
Peace.